Hello, this is Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith, and this is Smith Sabatino Heard on America Weekend. Our guest in this segment is Dr. Margot Thorning. Dr. Thorning is a Senior Vice President and Chief Economist with the American Council for Capital Formation and Director of Research for its public policy think tank. She also serves as Managing Director of the International Council for Capital Formation, a new think tank out of Brussels. She was educated at Texas Christian University, MA from University of Texas, and a PhD in economics from the University of Georgia. Dr. Thorning, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you. Dr. Thorning, you are, I'd like to start off my very quick question, and Roland, of course, Smith is here. I know he has some questions.
Hello,
for
Dr.
you.
Thorning. Nice to meet
Hi.
You. Nice to
Thank
meet you.
You
verbally, anyway.
Thank you.
Give us a sense of the economic situation globally in a very quick 10,000-foot view, if you will. Where are we going here?
Well, globally, we're concerned about a slowdown in growth in Asia. We're concerned about Europe probably being in recession right now. So global economic growth, according to the IMF and some of the other agencies that track that, they're going to be projecting somewhere around 2% or so, maybe a little better this year. So that's as a threat for the U.S. economy. And, of course, last quarter, our GDP was up 5%, third quarter of 2014. So this question of should we export crude oil kind of plays into how the U.S. economy builds in more resiliency to adapt to potentially slower export markets for other goods and services that we export. And that's why it's important that people understand why we should lift the ban on exporting crude oil.
How long has that ban been in existence, Dr. Thorne?
Since 1975. It was put in place many, many years ago during the oil embargo from the OPEC countries. Our policymakers voted to make it illegal to export crude oil. They did leave in place the ability to export refined product like gasoline and jet fuel and diesel fuel. So it's perfectly legal for our producers to refine crude oil here in the U.S. and export it, but it's not legal to export the crude itself, which really doesn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't. I mean, what does it mean if you can't export crude oil? I mean, was that at the time to make a little money for us and hurt them?
Well, the thought was that if producers were allowed to export crude back in the 1970s, it might exacerbate the impact on gasoline prices. Because if you remember, or maybe your parents remember, that gasoline prices tripled in the 1970s over a period of a year or two. So people, policymakers back then, were fearful that allowing our producers to export crude would make the situation worse. I personally suspect that the U.S., being the highest, richest country in the world, would have outbid foreign competitors for the crude, and so I don't think the ban was necessary back then anyway. But the point is, there is a ban. It's against the law now, and many in Congress are trying to change the law. The president could, by executive order, allow crude to be exported, but that, you know, that's maybe not going to happen. So there's a move afoot in Congress and several bills to allow our crude producers to export.
Carl Sabatino, Dr. Thorning, are we dealing at the edge of a different world now? You know, the environment is different. We're dealing in a world where fossil fuel is beginning to, whether we want to, many want to admit it or not, is being phased out. It may take another 75 years or so, but in the process of the world order, that's a blink in time. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I would disagree that fossil fuel is being phased out. If you look at the International Energy Agency projections, now that's the international agency that really tracks energy use of all types, and by 2040, fossil fuels are expected to still be the very dominant source of energy. What has happened here in the U.S. is that gasoline consumption has dropped because our cars are more efficient and people are driving less. So gasoline consumption has dropped here in the U.S. and with the fall in the price of crude globally, We're beginning to see some shut-in of production. Crews are being let go. There are fewer drilling rigs being put in place. Some are being shut down. So we're beginning to see a ripple effect. It isn't just the oil producers who are experiencing decreased demand and cutting back, but the people they buy from, like steel producers or oil field service people, are also cutting employment because there's just not the demand for all the crude that we can produce, because our crude production is up 60% over the last 6 years or so. So it's been, you know, this ban on exports is hurting job growth and hurting not just oil producers, but the services and the manufacturers that supply them with the equipment they need.
You know, Dr. Thorning, you are an expert in so many different areas. How would you break this down for the average person to understand in middle America?
Well, the average person needs to know that we're in the middle of a very happy situation with respect to oil and gas production due to the advent of hydraulic fracturing, which allows companies to get oil or gas by drilling horizontal wells. We're able to produce so much more oil and gas than we ever thought was possible. And without markets to export the crude oil or the liquefied natural gas, we're simply not going to see the level of production continue that we've enjoyed in recent years. And job growth in the oil and gas sector has far outshone job growth in other sectors. It's been a real boost, not just in the oil-producing states, but also in places like Illinois you know, the heart of the Midwest, where we've had traditionally a lot of manufacturing. So we're in a happy situation, and we want to take advantage of it by allowing our oil producers to continue to increase their levels of production and to ship the oil to people who really need it. For example, Europe gets 38% of its crude oil from Russia, and they would very much like to have a source of supply from a reliable country like the United States, rather than have to depend on Nigeria and Iran and Russia and places that may not always be able to provide what they need or might decide to use oil as a weapon. So,
Dr. Thorning, in my understanding, and it, you know, it maybe it's wrong, but that in fracking, the wells that are produced by horizontal fracking don't necessarily have the longevity that the deep wells used to have in places like Pennsylvania or elsewhere.
Yes, that's my understanding as well. So in order to keep production from areas where fracking occurs, we need to have the incentive there for the oil producers to keep drilling as wells begin to play down. I've seen estimates, you know, that there is a shorter lifetime production from fracked wells, but on the other hand, they're relatively inexpensive to drill compared to, say, offshore deep water drilling. They can be done very quickly within a matter of months. So if the incentive is there through a high enough price to make companies willing to put the money into drilling and the pipelines and so forth needed to our trucks and rail to ship the oil, we will continue to see increased production.
What about, though, the environmental impact of those wells that are only active for 1 or 2 years and the aftermath?
Well, most estimates I've seen suggest they'll be active for maybe 10 or 15 years. It isn't going to be just a 1 or 2 year production level. And as long as producers are trying to comply with state and or federal regulations so that the oil is produced, according to the highest standards, I think the benefits of the production and the job growth and the strategic implications of being able to produce and export crude are worth it.
Well, Dr. Thorning, I do wish we had much more time. I must tell you, this is a fascinating topic that we're dealing with today. This is one of those topics that comes on our broadcast every now and then that's happening right now. And with your permission, we're going to ask you back to join us once again to continue this discussion. How's that?
That would be wonderful. And I encourage your listeners to look at our website, unlockcrudeexports.org.
Would you repeat that, please?
Yes, www.unlockcrudeexports.org.
We will do that. And thank you so much for joining us here on Smith Sabatino. We'll have you back, promise.
Thank you,
You're
Dr.
welcome.
Koenig.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very interesting, Carl.
Very interesting.
You know, and but she knows her topic.
Without question.
And that was a good get.
It was. It really was. And there's so much. That's a complicated process, though, and a complicated story. But I think we were able to sort that out and sort it out very nicely, okay?
Indeed.
All right. This is Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith.
Amazing.
On America Weekend.
You have a memory.
I do. On the Envision Radio Network. Please stay with us. We're back.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-568-5857, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free. And get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-568-5857. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-568-5857. That's 800-568-5857.